Audi.
Welcome to the Big Travel Podcast. I'm Lisa Francesca Nand. If you love music, love travel, and even like a bit of football, you're in for a treat because our guest this episode has some of the most brilliant stories about travelling as a photographer with some of the world's most famous footballers, rock stars, and movie stars. Whether that's being tackled by security at the FA Cup final, to being recognised by Bradley Cooper on the red carpet, and generally having fun hanging out on the tour bus. Her latest venture is the Selfie Guide, for which she travels the world's best destinations, finding the best selfie spots. So we just have to turn up and click. Sharon Latham is on the Big Travel Podcast.
I have two roles in life, two major roles, apart from being a mum. I am a photographer, per se, and also I own the business, The Selfie Guide. Well, I've gone from music photography to sport photography, back to music photography. My first sports break was in Liverpool, non-league, and I started following and helping out with a non-league team called AFC Liverpool. And we basically, it was the first season, and I was asked and tasked to follow them round, which was great fun. It's not football as you know it, trust me. It's on the most bizarre pitches you've ever seen in some of the most bizarre conditions. But I loved it and realised I was quite good at it. Then invested in more equipment, got quite a lot of freelance work, and then ended up working at the Etihad for Manchester City. Freelance there for a while. And then in 2010, I was asked if I was going to apply for the main role as the photographer there. And I was employed in 2010 as Man City's first ever female club photographer.
Being at Manchester City, in what year were we talking that you started there?
So I started officially as the club photographer there in 2010. So I was there when everything started happening. So when everything was winning, and it was, I was blessed and very proud to be part of that team then, because we got the 2011 FA Cup, 2012 Premier League with the Aguero last minute goal. And then 2014, there was Community Shields, there was Capital One Cups. So I was there when it all started, which was amazing.
That must have been an incredible time to be there. It was before that, Manchester City were a bit like the underdog, weren't they?
Yeah, I've been a City fan.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Amazing. That was going to be my next question.
So it is a case of talk about your dream job. But yeah, as soon as that investment came in and the players were put together as a group and some of the players that we had back then, and it was just a phenomenal time to be involved in football and Manchester City.
So you're quite upfront and close to the footballers?
Yeah. I mean, part of the thing of being a photographer, you've got to gain their trust and you've got to be able to get on their level. So luckily for me, I'm quite an outspoken sort of, not a shy wallflower. I'm quite an outspoken lady. So yeah, I blended in quite well with the world of male domination, shall we say. It's difficult in some ways because some of them have different characters, but at the end of the day, yeah, I'm close friends still with a lot of them from that team as well.
And they're big superstars. When you first went in there, was it like, were you nervous or in any way?
I think it was a little bit intimidating, but ultimately I just viewed them all as individuals, because they are all individuals. They're all different people. They all still do the same. They're not, you know, they're nothing alien. I mean, I worked with Mario Balotelli, which is unbelievably ridiculously funny. But yeah, I don't think it was nervous or anything like that. It was a slight, will I be able to gel with these people well enough and quick enough? And that was it. And I did, luckily for me.
So did you get to travel with the team?
Yeah, everywhere. From pre-seasons in Hong Kong, America, to European games when we were in the Europa League, some unusual, obscure places. And then obviously in Champions League all over the main parts of Europe.
A bloody seriously dream job,
yeah,
for
amazing.
Any photographer,
honestly,
any
amazing
football fan.
Yeah. And I sort of developed my skills over the years being there, because it was hard graft. It was 7 days a week. It was every training session, every home game, every away game. So you didn't get any time off. And it was very long hours and everything was fast paced because you've got to get the pictures out quickly. So you learn on the hoof on how to adapt to everything as well. And they'd never had a club photographer, so there was nothing in place to say, this is how we like it. So I was sort of like setting the Bible, so to speak.
Presumably you'd then see your photos in the press.
Oh, everywhere. Yeah, the website. I mean, we did some groundbreaking stuff because we started delivering images from inside the training ground that no other team were doing behind the scenes. And I was able to get access in the gym, in the restaurants and stuff like that where the players were eating. So we were doing some groundbreaking stuff. And from there, it developed into like the video guys got access. And so the Man City YouTube channel's amazing. Groundbreaking stuff, but great fun.
So when you're travelling with the team, what was the, have you got any standout moments, any stories you can tell us?
God, there's loads. From bizarre things like interviewing Mario Balotelli with Noel Gallagher. which was a bizarre one, to watching kit men interact with footballers on a bizarre level and swimming in fountains. That was the kit men, not the footballers. All sorts. I mean, they were a serious team, but they also knew how to have some fun, but not in an obscure way.
Is there a certain code about what stays on tour, on tour?
Yeah.
Definitely. What goes on tour
stays on tour, yeah. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Exactly. Yeah, is it a similar sort of thing with football?
Yes, definitely. But again, that's trusting, isn't it? If I breached any of that, my images would have been useless. So,
what can you tell us? Tell us one of the standout trips that you went on.
LA on a pre-season with Mr. Mancini was quite standout because, again, the Mario Balotelli character was rife on that trip, and there was a lot of sunbathing, and a few paparazzi caught some shots of them in some bizarre swimming gear and attire. Mario had a pair of Versace swimming shorts on that were like really gaudy and awful. And I remember Kolarov and Zecco were on the same sort of like sun loungers as well, and he just stood out. It was bizarre, but it was just an amazing environment because MLS football and Premier League football are two completely different things. So they were able to train really well and not get disturbed and bugged because it was not a football place, really, or soccer, as they call it. To be then staying in like this amazing hotel in LA, you're sort of like, it's a bit odd. Where's Carrington? Where's the training ground? So yeah, it was cool, but a bit different.
You must be pinching yourself when you're in
well,
LA.
In Hong Kong, we had the most unbelievable weather. I've never seen anything like it. And it was so bad that I remember Vincent Kompany and, again, the kit man, Chappie, literally sliding on the training pitch because it was so wet. It was just like a swimming pool. And they literally threw themselves on the floor and belly slid across the floor on the training ground because it was like, how are we going to play in this? But they had to.
What is a kit man? Is it someone who literally looks after the kit?
Literally. And they are really close to the players. They've got to make sure everything's taken in, given out to them. And especially on pre-season tours, because you're staying in hotels, the kit is sort of kept with them. They have to deliver it to the rooms and everything. So yeah, it's quite a key role. And they were very close to the players as well.
Quite a big job. I never even knew that was a...
Yeah, if you think about it, if you're away, you've no home base for the kits. You've got to travel it in the hotel, usually take over a suite. And if you think you're away for like 10, 15 days, you've got loads to take with you and account for. And they deliver it to the rooms and pick it up and all the rest of it. So it's quite a taxing job, that.
I'm thinking like of those sort of Daz commercials now with the keeping the whites white. But seriously, you've got a lot of washing to do.
The laundry at any training ground is the heart of it because they've got to turn everything around quick enough as well.
Were there any negative experiences? Any time when you thought, oh God, this is going to, something's gone wrong?
The biggest negative experience that happened wasn't negative, and it was an accident. It was the FA Cup final. And after we won the cup and the trophy was there, there was a big podium put in the middle of Wembley Stadium for the players to go onto and trophy lift with the champagne. So they were coming down from receiving the trophy down, and all the players were coming down the steps, and I was photographing them as they came down. They went onto the pitch, stood on this big podium, and I thought, right, walk on. So I walked onto the pitch and sort of like was ready to take the champagne shot. So they popped the cork and everybody was cheering. Then the next thing, I was tackled to the floor by a security guard, and I'm thinking, what's his problem? Anyway, when I stood up and turned around, I realised I'd stood right in the middle. And behind me were 95 of the photographers from the world's press and media. So I'm just stood trying to get the shot, just totally engrossed in the moment and not realising they were all there to get the shot as well. This first trophy in 34 years and I stand in front of the trophy lift.
There's going to be pictures in some papers of you.
I've got it, yeah. So when I left City in 2016, all of the photographers who I became friends with them signed the frame and gave me a picture of it all framed. And it's me just stood with my rather large backside bending over, taking the shot. And all you've got is me and that. And they couldn't see anything else. So I had to give them my shot to get out to the press and media. So that was the only biggest sort of like cock up, shall we say, I've ever done. And then negative wise, in honesty, was just the hours. It was such a taxing job.
Especially when you're travelling for work. Yeah. I mean, it sounds great, on paper, and it probably is great, but you must be sacrificing your personal
family
life.
Everything. Yeah, I mean, for a good 8 years I was that was my life, and it's fantastic as it is, but it's taxing, it's exhausting, and creatively as a photographer as well, it's quite the same all the time. So you sort of get, unless you want to carry on doing that for the rest of your life, which would have been brilliant, fine, but it's not. I had other ideas and I had other plans, so it sort of came to a logical conclusion. So when Pep said he was coming in 2016, I thought, there's no point in getting to know another manager and another set of backroom staff. I might as well go now and make a break. So that's what I did.
And you did something pretty fantastic after that as well. So you mentioned Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
And you became his personal photographer?
Well, basically, yeah. When I left, I was going into business with the selfie guy, but there was a gap in between. So I rang Noel up and said, so you're going on tour this year in 2016. He was doing festivals in the UK. So I said, can I tag along? And he went, oh, all right then. So I went with him and we did a lot of work with his social media and stuff like that. And then I set the selfie guide up in November and I was away traveling then for 2017. And then at the end of 2017, I knew Noel had finished his album. So I rang him up again and said, so you're touring with the new album then? And he's like, yes, Charles, you can come along. So it was planned that I'd just go out for the first 2 weeks to America in February. And again, we did a lot with his social media and put images out. We were putting galleries out of behind the scenes of him in soundcheck and stuff like that. And after a while, we realised these were going down very well. So I stayed a bit longer. And then we were sat down going through some of the images one day and he said, these are good, aren't they? And I said, I think they're brilliant. I said, I think they're amazing. And I also think they're showing you in a completely different light because I said, you're so relaxed and so happy, happiest ever seen you. And he's like, yeah, well, it's great on tour. He swore a lot. I won't swear now. He said, it's great on tour. It's fab. We should show everybody. So we decided then to do a book. So I then ended up having to stay on tour for the whole year. And we plan to get the book out for Christmas. We have done. And it's out on the shelves.
Well, I'm going to talk about the book and also the selfie app as well. But first of all, from a travel point of view, what was touring with Noel like?
Different. Yeah. This year was unbelievably different. So the first part of the tour in America, the American tour buses are slightly different than UK tour buses. And there was no room because I was like an extra entity. So I was in a hire car, right? Literally go to a gig, do the sound check in the afternoon, have a little bit of a rest, get ready for the gig in the evening, shoot the gig in the evening, get all the pictures done and out, and then get in the car and follow the buses all around America. And then stay in the odd motel, sleep in the morning, get up in the afternoon, do sound check, and that's how it went. There was the odd day in between where I got a bit of time, but that was usually spent working and going through pictures and sorting stuff out. So it was literally, that was mental, but we saw some amazing venues in America. The venues are amazing. The theatres and all the rest of it are just old school and lovely. And then when we got to Europe, there was room on the tour bus. So I was then tour bus bound. So on a tour bus, which is a very strange experience.
What's strange about it? I mean, I've got musicians in the family. I've heard some tour bus stories, but what is strange about it?
I mean, it's a case of you're sleeping in like these small enclosed spaces that are like coffins. And I'm 6'1". So I'd wake up in the night and bash my head and think, oh, where am I? So the sleeping arrangement's weird. And then it's just, you sort of lose track of space and time on the bus. So like you'll leave a venue and it's dark. And sometimes you'll arrive at a venue and it's dark. And it's bizarre. And there's a lot of late nights and a lot of alcohol to try and get you to sleep and wake you up. And yeah, it was an experience.
Is Noel still a bit, I mean, he's a bit more of a grown up now, but has he still got that sort of wild child element when he's on tour?
He's a funny guy to be around. The key thing I learned about Noel Gallagher on this tour is that he's very, very funny. His humour I've known anyway, but on tour he enjoys himself and has a good laugh.
I've always loved his voice. In fact, in the Oasis days, I always loved his songs more than Liam's. He's just got something really...
It's a caramel voice, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, definitely.
It is, and I think it's got better with age. I'm not just saying that. I just think if you listen back, I just think he's... And I love how professional but funny he is. So he's professional. He'll stick to his routines and things, but at the end of the day, he's still having a laugh as well. He does have a laugh. And the band at the moment are so... They get on so well. It's great fun to be around and it's great fun to capture those moments. And you have to sort of get used to sitting back and photographing those moments so that you don't get in the way and you capture those candid parts.
When you're travelling, do you get to see stuff? I mean, you mentioned turning up where things are dark. Do you actually get to,
not really,
to see
no.
any cities? Or
not
anything?
Really. This was the thing way back in the football days. It was a very similar situation because you'd arrive at a location, you'd go to the training ground to train, you'd come back to the hotel, you'd get up at dinner time or mid-morning, do what you're doing after doing a late night of editing. And then you'd be straight down to the stadium again to start ready for the game because sometimes those European Champions League games, you're only there for 2 days. But I always snuck out. I always got up really early and I'd sneak out and go and get a selfie somewhere. So if we were in, you know, if we're playing Rome, I'd go grab a selfie somewhere and then get back. And I've got loads of them from all over from the footballing days. And it's the same when I was with Noel in certain parts of America. I'd nip off dead quickly. like we're in Washington. I ran around Washington for about an hour and a half just grabbing pictures and what have you. So I tried to make time, but no, you don't really, it's not like a holiday, so to speak.
Did you see any weird stuff along the road when you were doing the road trips in America? Because there's some strange things when you drive across the states.
Driving from, I can't remember, was it Detroit to Washington or one of those, or Ohio to Washington? It suddenly went from being really industrialised to then just nothing. And I was driving through these hills and I'm thinking, oh God, is sat-nav sending me somewhere weird here? But it wasn't. It was sending me somewhere right. But as I'm driving along, no cars anywhere. I'm thinking, God, this is like something out of The Shining. It really was. Winding through hills and then all of a sudden, this massive deer ran out and nearly hit the car. I had to swerve into the middle reservation. I was like, sat there for a second thinking, ooh, thank God there's no cars. But this massive deer, it just honestly from nowhere. And it's like literally in front of the car. If I hadn't slammed on when I was going to hit it, and the car would have been no more because it was a massive deer.
Because people travel the states and go to all the cities more than these rural places, by and large, you forget just how vast it is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's beautiful. Doing road trips over there is amazing. And I got more benefit of doing road trips with the selfie guide because it was like I was in my own time and doing what I needed to do. Oh, beautiful.
You've worked with other pop stars as well, haven't you?
Yeah,
stars,
I've done...
Musicians.
Yes. Musos, darling, musos.
You wouldn't call Noel a pop star, would you? But...
God.
Yeah, you call him God, yeah. God. Does he insist on that, or you do?
No, I do. he is just an amazing guy.
So who else have you worked with?
I've...
Rock God wise.
Rock God wise. Bruce Springsteen. Do we class that as a rock god?
I think he's like the rock god, isn't he?
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen.
What did you do with him?
So every now and again, the Etihad will host big... stadium gigs, and Bruce came and he didn't have his own photographer. He was using stadium photographers. So I got asked by his PR team, because I was working at the club, if I'd shoot it because it was our stadium. So I worked with him and he actually spoke on the phone. He was really lovely and really polite and really grateful. That was good fun. And all
I'm
his pictures.
To Bruce.
And all right, Bruce. The worst of it is my son's called Bruce.
Oh no. Yeah. Not after Bruce.
No, Bruce Lee.
Oh, right. It's not Forsyth either.
Massive Bruce Lee fan.
Oh, massive
Bruce Lee fan. But yeah, so my son's called Bruce. So when he actually phoned me up and he had this American accent, he went, hi, it's Bruce. And I'm thinking, this is our kid taking the mick here. Do you know what I mean? Didn't think anything of it. And then I realised, the more he was talking, I'm thinking, holy God, it is Bruce Springsteen. So I was like, hiya. Yeah, that was really sweet. That was really lovely. And then I've done Robbie a couple of times, Robbie Williams, Take That. Bon Jovi, AC/DC, Morrissey, Johnny Marr. There's
amazing.
Lots, really.
Is this all at the Manchester City Stadium?
No, various places as well, because music photography was what I did originally before sports. So, and I based myself in Liverpool and did a lot of non-known bands, apart from I did the Wombats early on, and I worked at a record station called a radio recording studio called Par Street Studios. So I used to go and photograph unknown bands. But then I also now do film festivals as well. So this year, epically, got to photograph Lady Gaga.
Did you? Where the Star Is Born.
What an epic lady she is. I've got an amazing Bradley Cooper story as well.
Yeah, go on.
I've got an amazing Bradley Cooper. So Bradley Cooper, what a guy. What a man. So we finished a tour in LA with Noel. And Noel says, oh, we're just going to have a few drinks backstage. So I'm like, yeah. He said, don't bring your cameras. You're all right. It's nothing. It's just have a drink. So I get in this room and it's mobbed with people. I'm thinking, phew, party on. Anyway, Noel's like, oh, there's Lars from Metallica, the drummer from Metallica. I'm like, oh, hello. So I went and said hello. He introduced me. And then it was, this is the drummer from Blondie. So I was talking to, it's amazing. So I'm just sticking it all in thinking, how your life has changed, Sharon, stood in LA looking at all these famous people. And then I looked across the room and I just nudged Noel. I went, that geezer over there, he's the double of Bradley Cooper. And Noel just went, yeah, that's Bradders. And I was like, so we said, come on, Shaz.
No.
Yeah, walked over, got introduced to Bradley Cooper, shook his hand. And then he stood up and was talking so gentleman, such a lovely man, talking really sweet, really nice. And then he said, oh, I've got to go. I'd been talking to him about the selfie guide as well, because I plug the selfie guide everywhere I go. And then he's like, oh, we should get a selfie then. I was like, yes. We should. I don't have to ask you. You've asked me. So I takes this selfie off he tootles, and I got some shots on my phone of him interacting with Noel, just because I thought they might work. When I looked at the selfie, it's on my Instagram account if you want to have a look at it. But when I look at the selfie, the bass player from Noah's band has photobombed it in the back, and it's like that. It's stupid, silly, grinned face at the back of it. But it actually makes the picture look even cooler. So
I was worried you were going to say like there was a thumb on it.
No,
or something like
oh
that.
God, no, I'd never make a mistake. But no, it was like there's Russ in the background. And I said to him, I said, what did you do that for? He said, I've never photobombed a picture before, Shaz, and I never will again because I think I've peaked. I think you have, Bradley Cooper. So then fast forward to the film festival this year in Toronto. And the red carpet event was A Star Is Born, and there was this huge photography pit, and you have to fight for a space and all the rest of it. There were about 60 photographers because it was the big event of the whole festival. And Gaga rocked up on the carpet looking amazing, and then Bradley rocked up. And I thought, I can't see here. So I grabbed this stool from, I'm 6 foot one and I still couldn't see, so I grabbed this stool from a video guy next but one to me. So I stood on this stool and I could see everything. I thought, ooh, great long views, got this. Anyway, Bradley Cooper's walking down and he just looked up and he just went, oh, and pointed at me. I was like, no. He went, hiya. And I was like, oh my God, he recognised me. I thought,
God,
what
did
a guy.
He say, hiya.
Yeah, well, no, not hiya. It was like, hi. I was like, I was cool. I didn't.
All right, Brad.
All right, Bradders.
Here we go.
And then he walked down the red carpet.
Oh,
it was
he
like,
recognised
yeah.
you. That's
I thought
amazing.
That was so cool.
You're practically like best friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. No, we're married. You know, he's leaving his wife for me. It's all about me.
Is he married? Oh, he's
yeah.
got some model,
yeah.
hasn't he? Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful wife yeah. and beautiful child.
Actually, talking of Bradley Cooper, he used to be, there's some really bad videos of him online before he was famous. He was a travel journalist or a travel... He did these travel videos.
That's right,
yeah,
he did.
And they're really
did.
Not very good at
they're
all.
Not. They're not. They're quite
like,
cringy.
Mine used to be better than those. But he went on to be a big Hollywood star and I went on to, well, present the big travel podcast, which is not quite the same.
But it's still good.
It's
but
still good.
He, yeah, he...
I should
he,
get him on, actually.
You
should.
Should I ring him?
But yeah, ring him up.
Bradders, it's Shaz.
You remember, hiya.
Hiya. But yeah, so it is a surreal situation because one minute you are photographing... beautiful travel places and then I'm photographing rock gods and strange superstars.
So are you interested in photography from a travel point of view or is it all about the people?
No. It's the travel aspect of it is another element to what I do.
Well, let's get onto the selfie app.
Yeah,
the selfie guide
was, it was an idea I came up while I was still working at Man City. I shared the idea one day on a down day at Carrington. I was just feeling a bit low and I'd had a really rough night and it was like, oh God, these hours are ridiculous.
What's Carrington?
Carrington was the training ground at Man City. Sorry, people know that's very
yeah,
bad,
no,
but
lots of people know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so Man City's training ground was called Carrington back in the day. They've now moved to a beautiful, big, purpose-built complex. And I was sat around the dinner table with a couple of other players, one of them being Joe Hart. One of them was Carlos Tevez, I remember clearly. Richard Wright. And we were just sat having a coffee and I was just like, oh, I've had enough of this. I'm going to leave. And they were all laughing at me saying, you'll never leave. You're a lifer. And I'm like, no, I've got ideas. So I shared this idea that I had about the selfie guide. And I remember Joe Hart saying to me, where did you steal that from? I said, what do you mean? He said, where did you steal that idea from? And I said, I've not. I said, it's mine. And he's like, well, if you're being honest and if you're true, tell me when you start doing that because I want in. He said, because I think that's brilliant. And if it's genuinely your idea, I want to be involved. Fast forward 2 years later, and I actually left. He phoned me up because we were very close friends. Phoned me up and he said, so are we doing this app then or what? So I was like, well, yeah, I want to. He said, right, off you go. Basically, the app is, it's a guide to all of the most beautiful sort of like travel destinations in the world. When you get there, for example, New York, the app will show you all of the key or what we deem to be the key selfie spots in New York. And it will literally take you to the specific place to take that selfie. And when you get to that spot, it will show you on the camera how to line up the background to make sure it's the right level and you've got everything in. Where to put your face and then take the picture. So it's a literal guide, an idiot-proof guide to get an amazing holiday memory snap.
This is so key these days, you know, with the
vital,
Instagram
vital.
And everyone. It's almost like to many people that's a huge part of traveling these days is getting those
completely.
Right photos in the right place and, you know, looking good.
And it's difficult because some places are really difficult to photograph and get everything in. For example, one of the key examples I give is the Trevi Fountain. The Trevi Fountain is like an amphitheatre and it's bizarre when you get there because you think, how am I going to get all of that? And there's also hundreds of people there.
Yes, yeah.
So I know, and I had a lot of research and a lot of messing and mulling about while I was there for an hour and a half. I know the three spots where you can stand. you can get a left angle, a right angle, but still get all of the fountain in and a central angle with nobody in the picture.
That's great.
And if it's still full, you can still get it. There are some attractions that you're never, ever going to get without people in. And again, thinking about Rome is the Spanish Steps. Gets the Spanish Steps and it's just mobbed with people full stop. So unless you go there at 5 a.m, which some people do, I then decided that the best thing to do was to take it up that top level and get the view over the top of Rome, which is brilliant. And then the lower angle, you still get the steps in. So, but yeah, they're all specifically, it's not just a random set of pictures. I've been to all of these locations. I've checked out everywhere I can. So there's a lot of popular destinations. But the other thing about the app is there's a lot of unusual places
yes.
that you wouldn't expect. So it's then acting as a guide for you to go and try and find some of these unusual, beautiful places. And there's everything from New Zealand, which is without doubt the most beautiful place ever, to New York, Paris, London, Manchester, Rome, Berlin. So the key spots we've gone for, and we're adding spots, adding locations as we go as well.
How are you doing your research? Are you going to all these places?
Yeah, I mean, wow. I do the research before. We find out some of the most popular destinations. We're also finding out trends that are places that are becoming very popular. And then we will do the market research on where the key locations are. We'll also take on board local Twitter or social media information and other travel vloggers' information where they've been and what they've found. So we'll try and gather as much data as we can before we get out there.
How many destinations have you got on there at the moment?
So there's 22 destinations with over 500 selfies.
Wow, that's incredible. And I guess you're just adding to them all the time.
Oh, yeah. We've got a new batch coming out sort of early next year. And I think I travelled 47,000 miles to get what we've got in there so far. So there's another lot of adventures planned.
This is another really terrible job you're doing, Sharon. It's, the rock photography, the footballers.
It sounds so bad. Yeah, no. But the thing is, you're on your own. It is quite isolating. And I've got a really tight budget. It is literally, 50 quid a night to try and find somewhere to stay. And we did LA. Have you tried staying in LA for 50 quid a night?
Well, luckily my brother lives there. Next time you need somewhere, go and stay with my brother.
Me.
He's a musician. He'd love some photos. Oh. You could do a little swapping thing. Yeah, a little skills swap.
I'm very lucky now. I have made lots of friends along the way. I've got friends in New Zealand, Canada, all over the world. It's brilliant. I've done those spots now.
Yeah, you need the lesser known
ones. So if anybody wants to make friends with me in Fiji, that's one of the places.
That's where my family are from.
Fiji?
Yeah.
Oh, get in!
Honestly,
seriously?
It's my family from all over Fiji, like all around the main island.
Fiji is one of the most...
Where are you going?
We're trying to get out there in January, February.
Oh,
so
sorted.
Tasmania.
Sorted.
So I'm trying to do the west coast of Australia because I've done the east coast in a camper van. From the top of Cairns all the way down to Sydney, the Blue Mountains and everything. So I'm going to do the West Coast. So I'm going to go from Broome all the way around to Perth, then down to Melbourne, then from Melbourne to Tasmania, then from Tasmania to Fiji, then from Fiji to Hawaii, then from Hawaii across to either Bali or Thailand. And I'm desperately trying to get over to Tokyo for the cherry trees.
I've got a great... I'd love to go to the cherry trees. I've never been. Although Greenwich Park has some beautiful blossom.
They do, yes.
Really good,
they do.
Blossom. I've got a friend who works as a stunt woman on Hawaii Five-O in Hawaii, and she'd love to have you there. She could probably do like a little squirrel.
Mate, honestly, let me tell you,
some
seriously.
Photos as
yeah,
well. She's a
seriously.
Stunt woman, so she's
That's
pretty
fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah. Hawaii, I've sort of mapped out just short of 3 weeks because I want to do all of the islands because there are some amazing selfie spots in Hawaii as there were in New Zealand and Fiji. I've got to try and get some extra footage because obviously social media is mega important. I've got a drone, so I'm taking a drone for Fiji to get some of the beaches and
amazing.
Stuff like that. And same with Tasmania. Tasmania is quite a hidden gem with some amazing spots. So I'm doing that side of the hemisphere again because the weather's not brilliant in Europe, so we might as well try and capture as much of that as we can. And then from there, obviously, once we get back to Europe, do some more of Europe. At the moment, I'm doing Scotland.
Some beautiful places.
Unbelievable.
And also the beaches and, the Welsh beaches. They like to rival the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. And at the top of Scotland, in the Scilly Isles up there, wow. Yeah, so I've got all that mapped out to do as well.
How are you balancing this? You mentioned you've got Bruce, you're a mum. How are
you
balancing this?
I've got three children.
And you've got three kids.
And two grandkids.
Oh, seriously? You don't look old enough.
Oh, thank you.
So you've done all this travelling while you've got the kids at home. And I'm not just asking you because you're a woman, by the way. I do ask
It's hard work. Mm. It is hard work. So my daughter's 33, my youngest lad is 23, and then Bruce, my oldest boy, is 29. So they're all of a grown-up age, but they all still need you. But my two grandsons, Vincent and Heathcliff, are 10, 11 this month and 8. So, yeah, it is a balance. But also my kids are really, really proud of what I do. Very encouraging and very helpful.
And they would have been, when you were doing all the Manchester City and all the, would have been really young.
Yeah, well, youngish. Yeah, much younger. But again, they're just so proud and it's a big deal for them to have mum doing what she's doing. And I sort of couldn't do my photography at this scale while they were really young. So that's why I sort of went professional later in my life, because up until that point, it was a massive hobby that I did since I was 8. I've been taking photographs since I was 8 years old. My dad died and I got his camera, and that's how I started. And I never, ever not took photos since I was 8 years old.
Oh, so your dad died when you were 8?
8 years old, yes. So, and then from that, that was his thing. That's what he did. That was his hobby. That's how he unwound. So I got his camera when he died. And as I say, it was part of him. And it allowed me then to sort of like be creative, because I was a bit of a arty-farty as a kid. But I think I found then that was my niche. But then as you grow up and have kids, they become your priority. They're your life. I worked full time as well. I had various ex-husbands.
various
ex-husbands. So I've had to be the main breadwinner. So even though photography was always my passion, it was always there. It was not something I could make a living out of when you've got three kids. And then as they grew up, that's when I took the leap, and they were so supportive.
I'm sure they are so proud of you. I'm sure your dad would be really proud of you. Yeah. Hell, I'm proud of you. I've only just met you,
and
I'm proud of you as well. Is there anything I've missed before I go on to my last questions? Let me tell you.
Joe's involvement with the app.
Oh,
Joe
yes.
Hart.
Yeah, yeah. So what is Joe Hart's involvement in the app?
So Joe is my co-director and co-founder. So from the start, he's been involved with the design, the conception, because you've got to remember, this was just an idea in my head. And then to go from an idea in my head to actually building an app has been a big leap. And Joe's been unbelievably supportive. So he's the co-director and co-founder of the app.
Nice guy.
Amazing. Bezzy mates.
Oh, lovely.
Top bloke.
But where is he these days?
He's at Burnley.
Burnley, right.
Yeah, he's at Burnley. So he's been all over since City. He's at Burnley and enjoying it as well.
Oh, good. That's really good. We're Brighton and Hove Albion fans. And
my
husband's got a season ticket. I don't go.
And Brighton's a beautiful place
Brighton's
as well.
Brighton's a great place, yeah.
Selfie spots in Brighton.
Yeah, really good spots. Yeah, I'll help you with that one if you need any advice. And with Fiji, we'll sort
desperately
that out.
Desperately need Fiji in Hawaii. I'm so happy I said that, mate.
Honestly.
I'm so happy. Honestly, as I say, trying to keep in a budget of 50 quid a night is impossible. And in LA, I ended up in Compton. But hey, these are experiences.
It's not on the up yet, is it?
No. These are the experiences. These are the experiences of life. And I could write a whole book or do a whole podcast on travelling in a camper van.
Oh, really?
The experiences in New Zealand and Australia are book worthy.
Why? Tell me.
I can't say it on radio because some of them are a little dodgy.
It's not radio. The beauty of a podcast is you
honestly
can do what you like. Yeah,
the life on the road in a camper van is completely different and so much fun. And the people you meet are so open-minded and so liberating. And there's always alcohol involved. And yeah, great fun. Great fun.
Tell me about a wild night out in New Zealand.
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Very much so. My favourite one. This is honestly true. Basically because, and anybody who's listened to this podcast and travelling in New Zealand will know that in Queenstown, one of the best places to go to is a place called Milford Sound. It's the tourist part of that part of the world. And it's a beautiful, it's like the Lake District on acid, basically. It's got fountains, it's got waterfalls. Lord of the Rings, some of it was filmed there. It's beautiful. So I'd planned to go to Milford Sound on this specific day, but there's only one road in and one road out. So you can either get coach trips there, which is 4 hours in and 4 hours out. And I'm like, I haven't got time. I'm on a schedule. So you can get these plane rides over. You have to check in the morning before the flight because the weather changes so dramatically. So I rang in the morning. I'd only intended to stay in Queenstown 3 days. I rang in the morning and they said, nope, can't fly today. It's going to be tomorrow. And I thought, well, I'm not missing it, because it's selfie-tastic. So I waited and I thought, right, I'll just stay in the camper van and just chill out for the evening. And I made friends with this amazing couple called Nina and Tom. Nina and Tom, I hope you're listening, because you are an amazing couple. And we got absolutely plastered. I got absolutely leather drunk. And in this amazing pizza bar, which is quite famous as well. And there was this poor guy sat at the bar and he was on his own and he was drinking. And I thought, oh, I'll look after him. So I said, come and sit with us, come and sit with us. Typical New Zealand bloke. And he's like, no, 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 it's fine, I'm just having a bad day. I said, no, come and join us. Anyway, he sat down, carried on drinking, proceeded to get very, very drunk. Fast forward to me in a cab, going back to this guy's house. So I was like, should we be doing this? This is not a good look. But I thought, no, sod it. So he gets to the door, gets to his front door. This is not a word of lie. Gets to his front door, he gets his keys out and he turns to me and goes, shh. And I'm thinking, oh no, there's a dog. This is going to be frightening. He went, shh, the wife's in bed. And I just went, literally ran, no, it gets better. I ran down the road and got in the cab that I just got out of and set off. Went to bed in my camper van. It was late. Woke up in the morning and I thought, Milford Sound, okay, off we go. So gets a cab to the airport, and this lovely lady's signing me in. She said, right, yeah, we're flying, it's all good. So she said, if you just go around the corner, gets around the corner, the guy from the night before was the air pilot. Honestly, you could not write it. I walked around the corner, he stood there, he was like, oh my God. And there was two things that ran through my mind. I thought, you absolute knob. And then the other one was, I know how much you drank last
night.
That's
exactly what I was
thinking. You're
going
to fly a plane?
Yeah.
And he did. And he said to me, you can sit in the front with me. I said, whatever. And there was like three Japanese tourists in the back as well who booked on the flight. And I'm sat in the front with him and he's like, I'm so sorry. I don't do those sort of things.
I'm so hungover.
I'm so sorry. And I'm like, oh my God. He said, it's all right. I'm going to teach you how to fly.
What?
So he let me have a flying lesson midair over to Milford Sound and I flew part of the way to Milford Sound. It was brilliant.
Remind me not to fly with him.
Honestly, I won't name the little airline. There's about 15 of them as well that you can choose from. So it's like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, that is a very strange coincidence. I'll be going there next year, so I will look them up.
You've got to go to Milford Sound if you're going
there
next
year.
You've not been to New Zealand?
I've never been to New Zealand. I've been to Australia a few times and Fiji, but not New Zealand. So that's my linking that trio up is next year.
It is, without doubt, the most beautiful place I've been to so far. And I would highly recommend it to everybody. And I think it's an experience that you've got to do. And you've got to do it in a camper van.
Okay.
You've got to you get to see more of it. You can't really
even
do it
another
way.
Even have a 7 and 5 year old.
Do it. You can get a big enough one and you seriously will see the best parts of it. Use the selfie guide because it takes you all around the coastlines as well.
I'm downloading it now.
It sounds really amazing.
Oh, I have one last question. You're going to find it quite difficult to choose, I think. But my last question is always about music and... because I think music, well, for you especially, but for me and lots of people, music and travel go hand in hand. If you had to choose one song that reminds you of a special time or a place of travel, what is that song and why?
Oh, my God. There's two things here, because there's two eras, because I'm an old bird, remember. There's one for the past from when I was younger, and it's quite a melancholy song, and it's Sorrow by David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the first holiday after my dad died that we properly had. I was older, but I think I was about, God, I can't remember how old I was, but I was older and it's the first holiday we'd had since he died. And it was really impactful as we were driving up to Scotland. I remember it really clearly. So that's that one. That's a melancholy one. But then driving around New Zealand, seriously, the whole Catfish in the Bottle album.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
That will just always, and when a catfish in the, when that album song comes on now, it just takes me straight back to New Zealand because the roads and the area is so quiet. There's nobody there. You can crank it right up. And I blasted that out the whole trip. And that now, whenever I hear it, just takes me straight back to New Zealand and makes me feel so happy. So yeah, you do correlate the two. Because that David Bowie song does sort of melancholise, but also it reminds me of the rolling hills driving up there. But then the Catfish reminds me of banging the tunes out driving around New Zealand.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely brilliant choices. Did you ever meet David Bowie?
Yes.
I met him as well.
I've got a great David Bowie.
Oh, come on. Yours is probably better than mine. I just met him backstage at Wembley briefly. I was in music before travel.
I met him backstage. It was the Glass Spider Tour in Manchester and I was a lot younger. And my friend had got us a PR job working backstage, just running coffees and all the rest of it. And Brian Ferry was there as well. And they were all sat on this couch after the gig chilling out. And my friend was a lot younger than me and she'd got me this gig and she was like, oh, well, yeah, you can come along and help, but my dad's picking us up and he'll get us back home. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I was just like such a massive David Bowie fan. So we're backstage and Brian Ferry and David Bowie sat on the couch chilling and talking and what have you. And David Bowie's like being really lovely with me and he's like, I'll have another beer. Yeah, please, I'll have another beer. Come and sit down, talk to us. And I was like, yeah. I was a lot younger and a lot prettier then. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, we'll do. I'm thinking, oh, this is amazing. And as I sat down and talking to him and Brian Ferry and trying to be mature and grown up and act a lot older than my age, my friend walks over. She went, my dad's going to be here in 5 minutes to take us home. I was like, oh, how embarrassing. Anyway, David Bowie says, no, you can't leave, Sharon. He said, we're going back to the Midland when the Midland Hotel was a big posh hotel back in the day. He said, come and have a drink with us at the Midland. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, that's fine. So she scootles off. So I'm still sat there chatting and bobbling my head away like having a good time. She comes back and she said, my dad's here now, we've got to go. Because my dad said, we'll get you back. And I'm like, oh. Anyway, I ignored her. Woe betide. 2 minutes later, her dad walked
by. Oh, no.
So I stood up and he's like, no, you're not going, Sharon. This was David Bowie. I'm like, yeah, I've got to go. And he went, oh, anyway, kiss me.
What?
Listen. He kissed me.
What?
Took his tie off and gave me his tie.
Wow.
Honestly.
I bet and my dad mate just wanted to come in and see David and see what's going
well,
on.
Well, I reckon he did, actually. Mm. But my mate's dad was like, right, I think we better go now, Sharon. Come on, let's go. And I was like, absolutely. It was like the best experience of my life. And David Bowie's like, yeah, bye. I could have been Mrs. Bowie.
You could.
But it was unbelievable. At the time, it was unbelievable and amazing. Mm. And, woo, I've got David Bowie's tie. But then as you get older, you realise, yeah, especially in my 20s, I sat back and looked at it and I thought,
her dad rescued you, probably
yeah.
Would have been a great story. But
actually, a different experience at 15 years old.
Yeah.
He was still very courteous, very enigmatic. He wasn't being pawry or pervy or anything like that.
So where can we find you? Where can we find the selfie guide? Where can we find you?
So you can find the selfie guide on social media. So first of all, we're on Instagram. So that's @theselfieguide2TO. And then we're on Twitter. Yay, we've just joined Twitter now, actually, adding to the social media channels. And that's just The Selfie Guide. And then we've got a website, selfieguide.co.uk. And then we've got a Facebook page, which is Selfie Guide. And then you can find my personal Instagram, which has lots of music photography, which is just Selfie Guide Shaz.
Thank you so much, Sharon. A thoroughly enjoyable conversation. Next week, we have train guru, the man in seat 61, and also coming up, food critic Giles Corrin and adventurer Lizzie Carr.